You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
We're in a series titled All In. And when this whole thing started, we were evaluating whether we should continue. And we decided to continue for two reasons. First, because although we're all a bit displaced and trying to reorganize our lives with these preventative measures, keeping the series, keeping connected with what God is doing at the church, it's a small way for all of us to keep moving forward. You know, it's important for you to know that even though the landscape has changed, even though the topography has changed a little bit, we're still moving forward. You're not stuck. We are moving forward. And the second reason is this. We realize that this series is crucial right now. Spiritual disciplines are so crucial in this moment. That's where you find your foundation. That's when you get that inner strength. That's when you find that connection in God. So this out of the sensitivity to the challenge that we're in right now is the reason why we're continuing this series. So if this is new for you, if you're new to the gospel, if you're new to our community and you're joining us on live today, I believe that if you've been an agnostic or if you don't believe in God, this is a time where we're all a bit more susceptible to believe, right? We're all a bit more open to faith. And I want to challenge you today to just consider that perhaps there is a God there that loves you, because we're fighting something that we can't see right now. And in the same way, you might say, well, where is God? Does he exist? Can we see him? And that's my point. The most pragmatic of you will say, well, JD, we can't really see God. We can see the virus with the naked eye. And that's my point. My point is that we all can't see it, but we know it's there. And that's our message for you. You might not have seen God act, but if you open your heart, if you allow faith to come in, he will act in your life, and he will change situations for the better. The topic that I was scheduled to speak on, I think it's so vital. It's solitude. So that's the topic of my message today. And I think it's so appropriate, you know, as we are going and facing these challenges and facing this new reality and trying to beat this virus that's trying to spread across the world. I believe that in this moment, more than ever, solitude is essential. It's a spiritual discipline that is essential for all of us, especially if you're beginning your journey with God, especially if you are beginning your spiritual journey. And if you've read extensively about the life of Jesus, you will realize and you will remember that he practiced solitude. Constantly, he was retreating. Constantly, he was going to places to be with God, to be by himself, to refuel, to re-energize. And that's how his ministry started. John Mark tells us in his gospel that right after Jesus was baptized in water, the Spirit immediately drove him to the wilderness. Jesus started his ministry with solitude. And so solitude is an essential practice. It's essential for us. It's essential not only for our development, but it's essential in finding direction. It's essential for us to quiet the noise, to center our hearts, center our lives, and find peace. Find the ultimate good, the ultimate peace, the ultimate love that can only be found in God. So what is solitude? I love the definition given by the late American philosopher Dallas Willard. Here's what he says about solitude. In solitude, we purposefully abstain from interaction with other human beings, denying ourselves companionship and all that comes from our conscious interaction with others. In other words, it's an intentional withdrawal to be alone. It's an intentional withdrawal from normal activities. It's a purposeful abstention. It's removing your mind from the influence of other minds. And it's essential, and you will realize how essential it is when you take part in it. It's hard to understand how useful it is until you practice it. So my encouragement to you today is, in this season of displacement, in this season of social distancing, that you may take advantage of this spiritual practice. Because I believe that more than ever now, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity for proactive solitude and reflection. This is what we need to understand as well. Every single one of us, we are integrated into a social pattern. You might think that you move to the beat of your own drum, but in this season, you realize how much your life is connected to other patterns. There's patterns of relationship, patterns that happen at work, patterns that happen in school, in your normal life. And now that we're being asked to retreat, now that we're being asked to stay at home or to avoid connections, we realize how much of those other things contribute to the rhythm of our lives. And it's likely that some of what you've been involved in is not God's best for you. It's very likely that, you know, the work that you're doing, even though your intentions might not be bad, could be doing good work, but in a negative pattern, in a bad pattern, in an unhealthy pattern. And solitude helps us with that. See, solitude helps us sort through those challenges. It helps us sort through our thoughts. It helps us reprioritize things that might be in the wrong priority in our lives. And that's why this is important right now. I believe we have an opportunity, even though this is not something that we wish upon the earth. We are all fighting this all around the world. But there is an opportunity in this time that we all have. Because soon, hopefully sooner rather than later, soon you're going to go back to a routine. We're all going to go back to a routine. We're all going to come out of our quarantines, and we're going to come out of our hibernation and social isolation, and we're going to go back to a routine. But my question to you is, should you? Should you go back to your routine? What are you going back to? That's why I believe that this is a big chance that we have. Because there's a probability that before we were asked to isolate, before we were asked for social distancing, that your life was not perfect. I know mine wasn't. I know my life is not perfect right now. And it's very possible that there's a big chance that you were involved in things, not everything, but a few things that were not healthy. That you were going places that you shouldn't be going. That you were in circles that weren't really healthy for you. Like I said, your intentions might have been good, but the pattern wasn't so good. So now is a time that we have to recalibrate. We have this opportunity to seize this time, see the opportunity that it brings, and sort our life out through solitude. Solitude is a great avenue for us to do that, to tap into wisdom. You know what it is? It's your time for rebirth. This is the year of rebirth. We've been declaring it from day one. And this is your opportunity for rebirth. This is the year of rebirth for our church. And I think that this is so appropriate, even prophetic. You can reprioritize your life right now. You can rearrange what's important and begin new patterns in your life and rise to your calling. Solitude can help you with that. Now, how do you practice solitude? Jesus was ministering with his disciples, right? And the ministry became so busy, the demand was so great, that they were ministering all the time, nonstop. The demand was massive. They were working long hours. And scripture says that they didn't even have time for a lunch break. Could you imagine that? Working round the clock. Some of you have been through that. You've done that. You know how unhealthy it is. Now, here's the thing. It was 100% God's work, 100% vital, 100% good, 100% fundamental. But in the middle of that, this is how Jesus dealt with the demand, with the overwhelming demand. He said to his disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. That's Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus invited his disciples to come into a desolate place. He saw how taxing the ministry was on them, and he said, here's a solution. It's time for solitude. Now, I don't know about you, but before we were told to stay in our homes, I felt like life was going super fast. And maybe you were in the same place. Life was going super fast, and right now it's coming to a screeching halt. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's kind of strange because it's not something we chose. But I believe there's an opportunity here for us to seize. Jesus' desire for his team was for solitude, time with God. And I believe that's his desire for you as well. That from time to time, when things get busy and too much is happening, we may make solitude a priority. Now, I think about you, moms and dads watching right now. You know, you had your time in the morning with your family, and then you went to work. You had family time at home and work time in the office. And your kids, they went to school, and they had study time in school. And then at the end of the day, you reconvened to this awesome, beautiful time of 3 or 4 hours together as a family, talking about the day, sharing your experiences. And now you're asked to make your home your office, your school, and the place where you live. You're not just mom and dad. You're mom, you're dad, you're a teacher, you're a spouse, you are a professor, you're the disciplinary, and everything is happening in under the same roof. Your home is not just a home, it's an office. Your living room is not just a living room, it's a school classroom. And that can get hectic really fast. That can get miserable, if I may say, really quickly. So for the sake of your soul, for the sake of your relationship with your spouse, for the sake of your marriage, let me encourage you today to practice solitude. Take a time daily to retreat. If you have a backyard, if you have a porch, if you have a balcony, go there. For about 30 minutes, bring your thoughts together in silence and stop to meditate. Stop to think. Take your mind away from the influence of other minds and put your mind in the presence of God. You know, there could be, sometimes you might be in a situation where you don't have the luxury of being in a room without anybody else in it. Let me encourage you to still do that. There could be other people in the room. There could be noise in the room. But solitude is not so much about what's going on outside. Solitude is about what's going on the inside. This is not a time for you to do mindless things like scrolling on the phone or try to, you know, play a song and not think about anything. This is an intentional time for thinking on important things, putting your minds on the things that are important. And this is what, in that moment, when you have placed yourself in that position, this is what I want to encourage you to do. Take your mind and your soul to a posture of prayer. Open that channel in your spirit for God to minister to your heart. And in that space, in that moment, mindful of God's presence, of His goodness, you allow God to speak to you. And this is how He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you through a scripture that you might have read earlier in the week. He will speak to you through a worship song that you might have listened. He will speak to you through a conversation that you might have had. He will speak to you through a revelation that maybe He will bring to your heart. God will speak to you. And in that process, this is what will likely happen. Likely, you'll have a sense of things, how things can get better. And you will have a feeling of repentance. You will be brought to repentance, to practice repentance. Why? Because in solitude, you are exposed to your inadequacies. In solitude, you realize what needs to get better in your life and what perhaps has happened that wasn't so good. Maybe a conversation with your spouse, maybe the way you snapped back at your kids. In solitude, you will be able to look back at that, rewind the tape, and God will speak to you and say, hey, that wasn't you. That's not how I made you to act. And in that moment, you can repent and you can say, God, I want to be better. I'm sorry. And in that moment, this is what will happen as well. The next thing that will happen is that God will give you vision. He will give you a way to see what to do next. It might not be the whole picture, but He will give you the next step, the next thing that you can do. And along with that, a third thing most likely will happen. You will begin to draw a plan. What are the action steps that I can take to make sure I can ratify and make better decisions for the future? It could be something simple, like how to organize your day better. Or perhaps God will speak to something a little bit more significant, like how to move forward after losing your job. It might be that you're facing unemployment right now. And let me tell you, God is for you. He has the answer for you. And He's inviting you to spend time with Him and allow Him to give you the strategy for a brighter future. Solitude is a blessing. If you look in history and study the lives of people who have done great things, you will likely realize that most of them practice solitude. Just a few, let me name. President Abraham Lincoln, during the most challenging time of our nation, I think, or one of the most challenging times, the Civil War, he was known to take daily walks or horse rides back to a house off location. And in those rides, that was his time for solitude, where he would think and ponder on what to do. And it is known that he would write his ideas or write thoughts on pieces of paper and put it inside his top hat. President Eisenhower, when he was commander of the armed forces during the World War, he received clarity for the strategy on moving the day of the Normandy invasion, D-Day as it is known, to surprise the enemies. That happened when he was practicing solitude. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., he had come to the end of his strength. It was a moment in his life where he was receiving death threats constantly. Phone calls were coming to his home, threatening him and his family, telling him that if he didn't quit the bus boycott, his family was going to be dead. And he felt weak. He felt like quitting. He felt like he was done. He felt like that was the end. And in that moment, in his kitchen table, he practiced solitude with God at his kitchen table. He began to pray and put his heart before God. And in that moment of solitude, he felt God speaking to him. God spoke to him so strongly, and he felt like God said this, "Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And God will be at your side forever." And he says this, that almost at once, my fears begin to go. My uncertainty disappeared. And I was ready to face anything. Jesus himself practiced solitude throughout his ministry. It wasn't just one time. It was constantly in his ministry. But I think no other moment was more essential and significant than his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was in solitude in that moment before God's presence, and he became so vulnerable, he became so honest, in the most honest way he could, he prayed and said these things, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He said to his disciples a little earlier on verse 38 of chapter 26 of Matthew, he said this, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, practicing solitude, he fell on his face and he prayed. Jesus practiced this spiritual discipline of solitude in the moment he needed the most. He was in agony. He was afraid. He felt like he didn't have the strength to face death and the cross. But he knew how important it was. Your salvation, my salvation, our relationship with God. And at that time, he chose to practice solitude. You know, I have an experience of my own. Last year, I was feeling like the weight of the world was on my shoulder. There was nothing different in particular that was happening in my life. But, you know, we planted this church back then. It had been 4 years and a little bit. Now it's 4 years or 5 years. But we planted this church in 2015, and we had been going hard for 4 years. I was working every day, Sunday to Sunday. I tried to take Mondays off, but most Mondays something came up, and I had to work, and pressure was mounting, and I felt hope waning. The constant worry about, you know, our obligations and what we had to do as a church, and constant desire to reach out to people, wanting to do more, just wanting to do more to bless our city and to see people receive the gospel, and not kind of feeling like we weren't making headway. And just wanting to see people get it, really. People get what this life is all about, and feeling like we weren't being successful at it. I wasn't seeing it. Plus, we've been in this little kid phase. We have 3 daughters, and they're amazing. They're awesome. But if you have kids under 10, you know how busy life gets, and you know how hectic it can be. So it was also a year where I faced a lot of emotions. I turned 37 that year. I don't know why 37 was so significant, but it was very significant for me to turn 37. I think I went through all the 40 thing, the 40-year-old whatever guys go through 3 years too soon. And my wife is laughing here. It was also the year my dad turned 70. And something happens, you know, in that time when you realize your parents are getting to that old age, and you realize that you're not the youngest person in the room anymore. And that whole thing just weighed on me. I started looking back and think about the cost, how much all of this has cost us. You know, I never regretted it. We never regretted anything that we've done. It was always, we felt like, you know, we this is what we're supposed to be. But, you know, nobody really understands how much it costs unless you've done this. I left my parents. I left my family. And when things were solid in Texas with my wife and we had our first kid, we felt like everything was good, like we could be there forever. We felt called to leave that too. Why? Because we felt God calling us. And back then we were full of courage and faith. But now, 4 years into the process and working so hard, I was feeling weak. I was feeling depleted, spent, like I had failed my family, like I had failed the call of God, like I had little to give. And there were so many expectations riding on this, so many things that we were hoping for, and so much sacrifice that had been done. And perhaps you can relate. Perhaps you're sitting at your home right now or your office, and you're thinking about the things that you have sacrificed. You're thinking about the things that you have had to leave. Because I believe we're all exiles in some capacity. We've all have left something seeking for better. We have all turned our backs on something. We said goodbyes to a former life with the hopes of something great, with the hopes of accomplishing something good. And that's where I was, like you might be feeling right now, feeling like maybe it wasn't worth it all. Maybe I heard it wrong. Maybe it wasn't what I was supposed to do. And that was the end. It wasn't during that time of depletion. It was during that time of emptiness that I was invited by a dear friend to spend some time in Montana with other pastors from around the country. And this amazing, amazing ministry that helps pastors have a time of solitude and recovery. And there, I began to pray. I prayed, I was in solitude, and there was no escape. It was an environment where there was no escape. I had to come to face to face with what I was facing on the inside. There was no lunch appointment to run to. There was no phone call to plan the next service and get excited about something else. I had to be face to face with the reality of my soul before God. I had to face my inadequacies. And there, at the dinner table with other pastors, when I was asked, "So what's God been speaking to you? What's going on? I just broke down. I sobbed like I've never done before. Because for the first time in my life, I realized what was going on the inside. I felt like quitting. I felt like just walking away. And this was huge. Now, I've quit things before. I've quit meal plans. I've quit bad commitments, bad friendships. I've quit diets. I'm sure you have too. Don't lie. I've quit things, but this was too big. This was huge. You know, from the time I was 11 years old, when the clarity of the call of God came upon my life, I've been giving my life to the church. This was the thing that I've done my whole life, and the simple thought of considering that it may all be over was too great. It was too great. So I broke down. But I want you to know today that it's in solitude when you see your inadequacies, when you come face to face with your limitations, that God shows up and he lifts you up. That's when he strengthens you. That's when he gives what you need to become whole again. That's when he gives clarity of mind. And it was in solitude that I had to repent because God showed what was really going on in my heart. And repentance is a good thing. Repentance is you seeing what's wrong and turning away from it. Repentance is not guilt. Repentance is deliverance. Repentance is freedom. And in that place, I repented. And I realized that my fears were not rooted in the truth. All those thoughts were not true. My fears were rooted in the work that I was doing in my own strength. See, because I wasn't taking a Sabbath. I wasn't practicing solitude consistently. I wasn't the go, 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 go. And thinking that perhaps more of me was the solution for the parts of me that were inadequate. And I got to tell you today, you know, you need to understand this. That most of the reasons why you go so hard is because you might be trying to compensate for your inadequacies. And if you try to compensate for your inadequacies, this is what you will think. If I work all the time, if I show up earlier and I leave later, then perhaps I can cover my faults. Then perhaps I can move forward. But guess what? We can't. None of us can. I have a glass ceiling. You have a glass ceiling. We all have limitations. And we're facing them right now. We have a ceiling. And the appropriate response to your faults is not more of you. The appropriate response, the right answer to your inadequacies is not more work or more of you. If you see shortcomings and you're facing your short, you're just face to face with your shortcomings, the answer is not more of you. It's more of him. It's more of God in your life. It's more of his goodness. That's why I think that this whole pandemic, this whole quarantine thing, stay in your home thing, can be an opportunity for your rebirth. You can look at it from a different angle and say, you know what? I'm going to regroup myself. I'm going to take this and make this an opportunity to slow down, practice solitude, be in God's presence, and allow him to reorganize my life. Because while you're busy, while you're going from meeting to meeting, from appointment to appointment, from job to job, from place to place, your inadequacies, your shortcomings, they can hide in plain sight. They can be right there. But because you have a next thing to go on, you don't have to deal with them. And maybe that's the worst part of this whole thing for you. Maybe the worst part for you to stay at home is because you have to face yourself. It's because you have to deal with yourself. This quarantine exercise might be one of the worst things that have happened to you because you don't want to face what's going on the inside. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, I'm inviting you to come to Jesus. If that's you, it's time to surrender to God. It's time for you to know that he loves you. See, he knows you. He already knows your faults. He knows your brokenness. He knows the parts of you that are not working right. And his desire is to restore your heart. His desire is to restore you from the inside out. This is your chance for rebirth. So that when you do go back to your routine, you go back to a new routine, restored, regenerated, better, healed, transformed, made whole. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you stopped to look inward? When was the last time you were able to come up with conversations, come up with thoughts that were not about the news, that were not about a TV show, that were not about somebody else's life or what somebody else had to say? When was the last time you had something to say that wasn't an opinion on somebody else's opinion or somebody else's thought, but you had a conviction, a revelation, a thought that came out of your place in solitude, that came out of your search, out of your time with God? It's been a while. If you haven't had those experiences in a while, it's possible that your soul might be adrift in the sea of culture's opinions, in the sea of culture's reality and patterns. And I'm calling you back to shore today. I'm inviting you to come back to the place where God can be the wind in your sails, where he can guide your life, when he can direct your soul, not based on what everybody else says, not based on what happens at work, or what happens in school, or what happens in your friendship circles, but based on who you are from the inside out. I'm calling you home. So our team is going to come back right now, our worship team, and I want to give you a time to consider this, because I want to encourage you to take advantage of this time and practice solitude. If you do, you will see that you will come out of this season better than you were before, that you will be ready to help, rebuild, face the future with the bright light of Christ. Do you receive it? I know you do. I hope you do.